All right. This is the January 28th, 2020 meeting of the National Finance Committee. We have seven members present. So, R. Paul, could you take the roll?
Okay. Please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams?
Here.
Nick Arena?
Here.
Fred Blair?
Here.
Chris Corey?
Here.
Bill Crozier?
Here.
Lyndon Foley?
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Mansoor Sabah? James Sagerton? Anita Sims? Nancy Sorden? Okay, that is seven, and that is a quorum.
All right. So, I'm going to read the agenda. I've misnumbered the last four items, so I'll make those corrections as I read through it. Is a convened meeting, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Second is roll call. Third is approve agenda. Fourth is minutes approval. I made a little error in that one. I should have I put A twice. So we have two sets of minutes tonight that we were discussing approving. One was for the executive session on November 26th, and the other was for the open session that we held last month, December 10th. That is a five-minute item. Item five is central services formulas discussion. I left an hour for that. And then for item six, I had a P&L discussion from the chair, continued from last time. I left 10 minutes for that, but we can extend it if we need it. We might need that. And then item seven is to confirm the time for the next NFC meeting. It is any new business, and adjourned no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time. Are there any additions or changes to the agenda that anyone would like to make? Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I'm not sure we have the answers, but can we talk about the loan, the big loan? We still don't have a plan on how to even complete all the interest payments, much less the principal.
Where would you like to put that?
Maybe after the P&L discussion.
Okay. We'll put that up as item seven, new loan discussion. I think we have about 10 minutes. The central services formula discussion might not take as long without as many parties present tonight. We'll just have to see how that goes. But it's getting pretty unwieldy as far as I'm concerned. So there's a lot to talk about there. Do you think 10 minutes would be adequate for tonight, Bill, or would you like to see something more than that?
Well, we'll only make it 15. We're probably going to end up maybe just making a list of questions or topics to discuss at the next meeting or to ask our ICFO.
Okay. All right. So that will become item seven. Oh, sorry. Are there any other additions or changes to the minutes anybody would like to suggest?
One, let
go ahead,
me make
Paul.
Sure I've got this this amendment here correct. And it is, the amendment is to add new loan discussion. How about just loan discussion? Why new loan discussion?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Or big loan discussion, I guess.
Big loan.
Big loan discussion. Okay. Big loan discussion. After the P&L discussion for 15 minutes.
That sounds right. Is there any objection to that amendment to the agenda?
Hello, Nancy here.
Hey, Nancy. Thanks for joining us. We will record that Nancy Sorden has joined the NFC meeting. And Nancy, we were just working our way through the agenda. Bill wanted to have another item added right after the P&L to discuss the big loan for 15 minutes tonight. We might have more time for it than that or not, depending on the central services formula discussion that we're having right after minutes approval. So are there any objections to that addition to the that amendment to the agenda? All right, hearing none, that is, the agenda is amended. So it now reads, committee roll call, approve agenda, minutes approval, central services formulas discussion, P&L discussion from the chair, big loan discussion, item 7 for 15 minutes, followed by set change time for next NFC meeting for 5 minutes and any new business as time allows. Adjourn no later than 10:15. Are there any objections to the agenda as amended? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. I'll send that around right now. And that brings us to minutes approval. So the first one was...
Are we on the stream?
Yes, absolutely.
I don't see us when I see it on the...
Really?
When I try to...
Okay. Should we pause until that can be confirmed?
I can confirm the stream is live and working. I'm receiving it back here on a radio player.
Okay. When I click on it from the website, from the calendar listing,
yeah,
I don't get any.
Well, let me try that.
From the calendar list.
It's working on the on my website, Nancy.
It's working on mine also.
Sounds like you're having a little technical glitch, Nancy. Are you still there?
I will try it again. Maybe it's my browser. I'm using Firefox.
Okay. Are there any objections to the approving the minutes for the executive session on November 26, 2019?
Did anybody make the motion?
Good question. I guess not. I would like to move to approve the minutes on November 26, 2019. Are there any objections to that that motion? Hearing none, the minutes for the executive session on November 26, 2019 are approved. We also have sent out 2 days ago the minutes for the open session on that motion. I'm hearing an echo there. Just me? Okay. So the next item was item 4B, which is the minutes approval for the open session on December 10th, 2019. I would like to move to approve the minutes for that date as well. Are there any additions or changes to those minutes that anybody would like to make? I think somebody had one small change or something. Oh, no, that was to the other side. Okay. Okay, is there any objection to approving the minutes as presented 2 days ago, as sent out 2 days ago by our Paul? All right, hearing none, those minutes are approved. I guess they'll be posted at our Paul's little website for the time being until find a new home for them. Okay, so the next item up is the central services formulation. We started to get into it last time very briefly. I think I only allocated 10 minutes for it or something because I'd just kind of gotten into it and I really didn't understand it all that well, although the numbers have been being tossed around for, I think, 9 months now. This formula for determining central services has been stuck in its place for several years, I think, at least a couple, and maybe longer than that. Somebody with more institutional knowledge could chime in and tell me how long, but I know that it's been quite a while. Does anybody know how long that's been in place? at this juncture?
It's been, let me think, back to, it's four or five years at least, I think. And
that's what I'm thinking, too. I just didn't want to exaggerate. So.
Yeah, and it also had formulas in it which took the previous times into effect. So we're basing
right.
some
it was
on
based,
stuff that happened a decade ago.
Almost a decade ago, yeah. It was based on a three-year rolling average of revenues. So what I mean, there's a lot of different layers to this. One is that this has always been, we haven't treated it like a moving target, but it has always been that way in that we have two variables in here. One is the actual expenses at the national office, which vary from year to year, of course. And then the other is the revenues of the network, which vary from year to year. So having one tied to the other, or trying to tie one to another, is tricky in that you end up with some years and overruns other years. And I can understand why they wanted to do it as a three-year moving average. That helps helps even out any inconsistencies that take place in either, well, not in the expenses, because the expenses are assumed fixed, but in the revenue side. So if there's a shortfall 1 year in the revenue, then it takes a couple years, a few years, or actually if there's a big boom, I guess, in the revenue, it takes a few years for that to work its way through the system, at least in theory. But since it hasn't been revised in a long time, probably none of that really matters. It's just a question of how we want to do it going forward. Does anybody have any thoughts, first of all, about the idea of using a rolling average of revenue? I can think of some advantages and disadvantages, but is there any strong feeling about not doing that, or about doing something different than that, like basing it just on the prior year's revenue? I'd like to take a stack for that one if I could, if anybody wants to comment.
Bill?
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, you know, maybe a weighted average. Weight the last year more heavily, but go back the last 2 years. But I was going to say, before we come up with the figures, though, what we need to do is figure out how much, before we come up with a percentage, we need to think about how much money the national office needs. And we have the accounts payable that you sent out, and then we have the loan to deal with, the big loan, and whatever other expenses that we project we're having to deal with this year. Because what we've done before is kind of disconnected from that, it seems like. It's been, you know, if we assume things are stable from year to year, then maybe we can just keep using the same formula, but we might need to change it. The big issue is, well, we collect what we set it at. If we don't, then we're going to be in trouble again, and that's how we've gotten in trouble with, you know, getting behind on audits and pensions and things like that, and now we got, again, the big loan. So I think we need to maybe come up with a process, and which is would be to determine, you know, get NEDA to help us based on the last or the most recent P&L, which we don't have yet, and determine how much, what the expenses are and what they're likely to be this year. It's just budgeting. And then figure out a formula, figure out the percentage rate to let us come up with at least that much, and then also including some to deal with the debt, because we can't just let the debt sit there. It's got to more than cover the current expenses. We have to start paying back some of the debt. Thank you.
So we'll rotate around to the loan question later in the evening. But thanks, Bill. Anybody else?
Nick for the staff.
Nancy.
Okay, let's take Nick and then Nancy.
So
go ahead, Nick.
Thanks, Chris. I agree with Bill, and I think others agreed on the last call that in order for us to really grapple with the issue of central services, we have to come to some kind of consensus around understanding what the national office expenses are, and then be able to pay for them. And although we have the current list of what the national office's payables are, we don't have an understanding of truly what the national office expenses are. So whether that's in an open session or a closed session, we need to have that discussion first or prior to having the discussion of how much money we need to be able to budget for. And I have some, you know, very detailed questions that may not be able to be asked in an open session of just, you know, how the certain expenses that are just in the AP information that we got tonight, you know, what's generating those expenses. So that I think is important. I would also say that when we get to the loan payment discussion, whether it's open or closed, we should come up with a set of strategies around the loan principal and interest payments that will be due, and come up with some recommendations on those. But those are my thoughts, and I support what others have said about this in the past.
Okay. All right, Nick. Thank you. Nancy?
Yeah. Am I unmuted?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Yes, on the subject of, I wanted to weigh in on the subject of the national office expenses, determining those first. And I think part of that would be an agreement of what national office expenses are. And a lot of stuff that gets paid by the national office is stuff that from events or circumstances that happened at a station, at a particular station. And, you know, I think, for example, the fees for our lawyers, for the pension funds, that pension fund, deficiencies, were mainly at KPFA and KPFK, for instance. And I don't think it was a network-wide issue. And so should the national office bear all the expenses of the legal fees for where the pension deficiencies were? And, you know, as an example of one of the things we should agree on. You know, so when we should probably just stick to what are the regular expenses of the national office, and all this other stuff that comes up, we should have a discussion on who pays those, and if it is the national office, what kind of a reserve should we have set aside to cover those?
Okay, good points.
Irregular expenses.
Right, irregular expenses.
And should those be covered by central services?
Good questions. Yeah. Anybody else for the stack?
Fred here.
Lyndon.
Okay, Fred, go ahead.
My understanding is that the pensions, aren't the pension expenses billed back to the stations of origin? Because our local business manager mentioned that he just paid, or we've just paid off the KPFK pension arrears. So it may, the national office may actually pay the money into the pension funds, but is it not receiving bill backs from the stations? Does anybody know anything?
I don't know the answer to that question.
It makes sense that those definitely should be paid by the stations if there were the stations' pension funds that were in arrears. But the legal fees that we've had to pay for the Department of Labor to help us straighten these out, it's been incredibly expensive.
Thank you,
Lyndon, for the stack.
Who's responsible for that when it was the different, you know, not all the stations that were in arrears?
Okay. I hear the argument for sure. Sharon, were you next up?
Linda can go, and then I'll go.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Well, I
Linda
I have
can
to
go,
that
and then,
twice.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Excuse me.
What's
I've got
that
a
noise?
Little cat here. That's a cat.
Okay.
A kitten. But anyway.
That is a noisy kitten.
Yeah. Tell me. I don't think there's a real need to get to the amount that we need to collect in order to decide how the division is going to be between the different stations on the central services, you know, coming up with a formula. Now, if mm-hmm. you come up with a formula of 20% on based on, you know, revenue rolling 3-year average or something, now it's going to be, you know, it's going to make a big difference whether we apply that to $200,000 or $1 million. That's true. But I think it comes back. The only part that is complicating this formula is something you said, Chris, which is if we make it so some people, we definitely know they're not going to pay it. They won't be able to pay it. Then, as Bill said, we're, you know, setting up ourselves for another hole. But I don't know if we're going to sit here and we're going to say, okay, you know, KPFK, you can, you know, this is what we would come up with, and then we're going to have to adjust it because certain places aren't, you know, haven't made central services. I think that's the problem. Like, Chris, I think you alluded to it in an email just a little while ago, the troublesome part.
Yeah, it's a difficult question for sure. Yeah, and that 20% was based on a suggestion last time, just FYI, and the suggestion was that we use listener. No, that's very accurate. But it turns out that 20% of listener revenue is almost exactly what's needed to cover the predicted expenses for the national office. I have some figures for that, by the way, which I'll share with you in a minute here. But, Sharon, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, well, I just wanted to make the point that, you know, the argument that certain expenses should be attributed back to the station where maybe certain legal fees were generated, you know, it's so interesting. Let's just say that there is another situation that could apply also, and that would involve a huge loan that is due. So I think it's maybe not a good tactic to try to start doing that kind of attribution. I think that's not productive. And I think, as Lyndon said, the real question is even getting people to pay their fair share.
Okay. Anybody else for the stack on this first section of the loan discussion? Or, I'm sorry, Arpal. The central services discussion? Go ahead, Arpal.
Yeah, one of the things that's notable is how it was done in the past and how it is now. In the past, it was actually simple. For many years, it was, okay, each station takes, I can't remember the original thing formula, but there was something rather, and this was like back in the 80s into the 90s. Then at some point in the 90s, the PMB came up with a new formula, which was 17% of listener support revenue for the national office, and 2.5% of listener support revenue for PRA, and that lasted a while. And then we started getting the more, you know, I guess you could call it nuanced formulas and stuff. Part of what we have to understand is things are shifting interestingly these days. Things were more stable in the past. That's why they could say, okay, let's have it, you know, 17% and 2.5%, and let that go for years and years, and it sort of worked out. Now we have to look at things differently because everything's more complicated. The stations are all well, not necessarily in an upswing, shall we say. And that's the big problem right there, is that things are more complicated right now because the formula is more complicated because the things are more complicated. Things are more complicated because we live in a different world at this point in time. And so, yeah, I think Chris came up with something at the last meeting, and I can't remember precisely what he said, but it sounded good, and I could probably look it up very rapidly here. But Chris came up with an idea for central services, and it's probably something that's at least somewhat stable. And I think you have to base it on the listener support revenue, because otherwise, what are you going to base it on? All right, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually, I wasn't really on board. That wasn't really something I was thinking about before, but I think the board pointed out to me that listener support is really the whole ball of wax in terms of planning, because it's really all the station on to the extent that they can rely on anything. And so it does make perfect sense to me that it's based on listener support. So Hey, there he is. Hey, James.
I've been here for about almost 20 minutes. I apologize. I didn't want to break in and say that I was here.
Okay.
But I wanted to ask, and I apologize because I did get here late, but I think I got here in time for most of the discussion. But I just want to ask, the old formula made some provision for the fact of the greater operating expense that we have in New York for the rent and the tower. Is that contemplated going forward? I hear we're talking about just basing it on revenue based on membership, I guess, and I just want to know if there's any thought about continuing that adjustment for the costs.
Yeah, I know that when that adjustment was made, BAI's revenue was significantly higher as well. And I mean, I can't really speak to that or what the details are at the individual stations. But I know that now that you guys have the four times, it's not as bad as it was obviously before. But it's still, you guys still have a higher than normal overhead for that station. So
it's about $17,000 a month just for the tower. Yeah.
Right. Understood. So yeah, we'll look at it and entertain it as part of the discussion. I mean, up until this point, I've just been looking at what it would take across the network to make it work.
Good. I'm glad to hear that you're consider it. That's good. That's all I was really caring about at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's definitely more difficult for some stations to clear it than others. And, you know, the cost structure of these stations is something that we can get into a little bit later here, too. But it's interesting. There are definitely wide variations from station to station in terms of what the biggest cost factor is for that station.
Correct.
Obviously, in some cases, it's personnel. In some cases, it's fixed overhead. And how each station deals with these variables is an interesting problem for upper management particularly, but also for individual stations. So,
thank you.
Sure. Anybody else for the stack? Okay.
Bill again.
So I wanted to Bill, let me just chime in here, and I'll let you know. I had a little email exchange with Anita earlier on today. I asked her to project what the expenses for the national office would be this year. And the number she came up with, just taking a quick stab at it without getting into any of the details, was $1.5 million. I pointed out to her that that would be the lowest total for the national office in the last 4 years, and that I'd rather assume 1.6, especially given the fact that we have a free ED right now. That's not likely to hold through the entire 2020 period, I don't believe. I don't think that our current IED has the intention of staying through the entire year, but I can't remember what she said her plans were at this juncture. But in any case, I don't think it's safe to plan on having a free IED through the balance of the year. So I'd rather fight on the high side. There were 2 years in the last three where the budget was 1.6 million approximately. So I think that's a pretty credible number. But in order to make sure that that number is right, I pulled up five categories of expense, which are unusually volatile at the national office, and I just wanted to make sure that, you know, because I it's hard for me to predict when numbers are super volatile. It's difficult for me to what's driving that. I can make some guesses about it, but I figured I'd leave it up to Anita to dissect it a little bit. But one of them subcontractors, one's legal fees. These are items with wide variations. One is insurance, and then finally, of course, accounting. So I'm hoping that some of these numbers will stabilize going forward and give us a more predictable expense profile for the national office so that we actually have something that we can work with in terms of generating a central services formula. But one of the other questions I wanted to ask is when we came up with the interest formula, we decided to revise it annually based on membership. The membership numbers are fairly stable compared to the revenue numbers, but do we want to? Is that the same plan going forward with the central services formula too? In other words, do we want to revise that annually? Is that part of what we're planning on doing here? Because this thing of waiting 5 years to revise the formula is obviously not a very wise way to work it. So I just wondered if anybody had any thoughts on this. Or we could even do it more often than that if somebody thought that we should do that. But it seems like a lot of massaging the numbers to do it any more than annually. So anybody have any thoughts?
Lyndon for the stack, but I'll go after Bill.
Okay. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I wasn't going to respond to that specifically. You can come back to me.
Sorry about that. I forgot that you still had something outstanding from the first section. Go ahead.
That's a good question. I'll respond.
My apologies.
Nancy, back to the stack also.
Okay.
Well, I'll just say that, you know, the other thing we need to do is, you know, we need to make sure we at least cover the interest payments on the loan. It's not fair to, you know, put that in WBAI's. I think that was there on one of those reports. But we need to make sure it's not ignored. And we'll talk about the principal later in this meeting. But, you know, we need to make sure the interest at least is covered. I guess that would count as part of a national office expense. And also we need to have some assurance that stations can pay all their own insurance and payroll every month. And we need to figure out, can they really pay central services or not? Or else all this planning is kind of out the window. So we need some dedication, assurance from the stations that they're going to live within their means. I realize sometimes things happen, you know, there's a disaster that happens or some unprojected expense that comes up, but that should be temporary and it should be paid back, or else, you know, we can get this, if somebody has a fire or an earthquake or whatever, maybe we can, you know, the national board would have to deal with that. But we can't just on a regular basis keep tapping into central services that are needed for all these expenses. Like, we have over $200,000 of accounts payable, and I don't think that counts everything. There's some other stuff I know of that's not on here, and that doesn't even count the big loan. So we got to cover all that stuff and make sure that the central services will be there for it, to cover the not just the current expenses, but also those past due invoices. Thank you.
Understood. Okay, Bill. Nancy?
Kind of going back to my earlier comment on the national office expenses, it was kind of a simplified suggestion. And, of course, each instance where there's irregular expenses, either by a station or by the national office,
looking into whose responsibility is that cost. For instance, I was using the pension arrears as an example of the legal fees needed to straighten that out. So the although the pension fees were to be paid by the stations, the question of who pays the legal fees is, I think it falls, whose responsibility was it for paying those pension amounts, and who did not pay it? Like, was it the national office that didn't make those payments into the pensions, or was it the stations, you know? And so if it was national office and the stations did what they were supposed to do, then maybe the legal fee belongs with national office. And also, so that also would go for when contracts are signed on behalf of a station. If the station was on board in an expense and fully agreed with it and knew about it, knew they were going to have to pay that expense, then they were responsible for it. But if the national office signed them up for it without their knowledge or agreement on it, then who's responsible for that expense? You know, that's happened a couple of times. And those are irregular or sometimes regular expenses. Those things
right.
need to be, you know, looked into as well.
Okay. Did you ask to be on the stack?
Lyndon did.
Yeah, Lyndon.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
I'd like to start by saying we are never going to get a formula if we keep going back to what exceptions we're going to need on the revenue and who is responsible for what who is responsible for what expenses in the past. We're never going to get to a formula if we spend half of our time, which I think the agenda said to come up with a formula.
I'm talking about going forward.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, but we can do that. First we have to come up with a formula. Then we look at the expenses. They are a separate, although co-joined, but they are in a big way, they are separate. I think we need to take a formula, and I would go with 3 years rolling average, and then when does our fiscal year end? Is it September 30th or October 31st or something? And I would give myself 2 months to set in the new formula, to set it in stone for 12 months, and so on and so forth. As, you know, 12 months rolls off, you get a new 12 months, you have to give yourself 2 months to collect all the data and to put that into place. And so you want to run that, from what I hear, on the listener membership revenue. And so I think I would take that, go with that, and see what the numbers resulted in and see at the 1.6 million. And surely with that 1.6 million, she has an estimation for a new IED, I would think. I mean, she certainly should. But I would take a look and see what those numbers resulted in. And then I would take a look and say, do I think this station can pay that? That's where I would start. And then
after we get
something real there, then we can look, you know, at how do we want to reshuffle the expenses that we're paying. But we're never going to get there if we can't concentrate on one place. And that's my rant.
Okay. Thanks, Lyndon. I appreciate it. Anybody
Sharon,
else for the staff?
Sharon.
Okay. Go ahead, Sharon.
I liked what Lyndon was saying. My comment was, you know, just doing the budgets for the stations. We're supposed to have our budgets approved. You know, we sort of, at least at KPFA, we look at them in August, and then we approve the budget in September so that the budget is in place, at least at KPFA, although the PNB doesn't do anything with it, but we have our budget in place. by September so that we can project into October what the, you know, for the next year what the expenses will be. So having the number be reset two months after the end of the fiscal year makes it hard to budget. So my only comment would be I like the concept of, you know, I don't think it would be that difficult to revise it each year based on the numbers, but there has to be some sort of accommodation so that in the budgeting process, you know, we can have the number that we know we will be expected to pay for the next upcoming year. We can budget for that.
That makes sense. Yeah. Good point. I'm making some notes. Okay. Anyone else? I just had one quick comment about something, a point that Bill addressed with regard to the interest payments, and that's that we already came up with a formula for doing the interest payments based on the membership, and since the loan is on a slightly different schedule than the then the budgets are, and since we already have a mechanism for demand payments, I like the idea of making it part of central services, honestly, but if we do that, then it would be weird to have two different formulas and two different timetables for doing that. So it seems easier just to leave, especially since the loan theoretically is something that that will well, I guess it's no different than any other budget item. I was going to say it's something that will change over time, but it actually is more of a fixed schedule than anything else that we're talking about here, honestly. So I don't know. Does anyone have any opinions about whether this stuff should be folded into central services or whether it should just be billed from the national office and using the formula that we've already all agreed to and passed through the PNB? Any thoughts on that?
Lyndon for the stat.
Oh, go ahead, Lyndon.
Do you really want to wade back through that?
Not really. No,
cross,
I really
you,
don't.
You cross that creek one time. You want to go back again?
No, I really don't, Lyndon. Truthfully,
I really don't.
I'm just. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. Arpal?
Yeah, I think we've done the one, and I think we need to keep them separate because they're sort of different priorities of being concerned about paying stuff. A lot of bills can be pushed around and fudged a little bit and get a little bit late. The loan stuff is on a schedule. And it's a big lump, and we can't really avoid it. So, yeah, I think we should keep them separate so that we can all freak out when it comes time to pay the interest and not have to bring in, emptying the garbage at some place or paying for some other little thing. So, yeah, keep them separate.
Okay, Rafal. Yeah, I think there's probably a general consensus on this. We'll get to the loan a little bit later here, but principal payments are, of course, a whole separate issue.
Bill.
And there's a lot of there, so there's a lot to discuss. All right, so other than Lyndon's concept of how to formulate for this, is there... I actually had a comment based on something James said earlier about the differing circumstances between the stations, but comments about how this formula should be generated. In other words, does anybody have any specific ideas about how to formulate for central services? Other than Lyndon, who already expressed his idea.
Bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I was saying earlier, you know, we need to first come up with the total amount we need. Like you said, you'd gotten an estimate from Anita. We don't know if that includes loan payments, but, you know, that can be a supplemental appropriation, kind of the way Congress does for our military budget, I guess. But it's okay to keep it separate, just so people know when they have to come up with the money. Each station's going to have to be coming up with some. And, again, that could use a different formula, as we discussed in previous meetings, based on the number of members. I think that's what our recommendation was. But
that's right.
I don't think we can set the exact percentage of listener support until we know exactly how much we're going to come up with. And it's not just it's not just covering current expenses. We've got other debt, like these over $200,000 of past due invoices that we've got to make progress on. I mean, ideally pay them all off next year, but, you know, we've got at least, we probably should pay off all that. I mean, it's critical stuff like, you know, NEDA and our, you know, legal fees and things like that. We don't want to be sued for, and that's happened in the past, you know, for not paying those invoices. So, you know, when you're coming out with a budget, there's a separate tab normally on the budget template for cash flow. And you have to work stuff like that in. That's not necessarily an expense, because it's already expensed. The loan is, it's not an expense. It's that expense happened long ago. It's just the payments. And same thing for paying back these past due invoices. We just have to budget cash flow for that. That's sort of a separate thing. We need to make sure we have enough central services to cover all of that, in other words. And I think we have to look at all that together before we not just look at what the national office expenses are going to be for next year. We have additional amount we have to cover. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Understood. Yeah, I mean, it's a higher obligation, a higher sense of obligation than many of the, it's not really a fungible thing, as several people have alluded to tonight. It's an amount that's known, that's fixed, against our own assets, and that has consequences. If we don't pay it, we can't really fudge it around. So, yeah, it's something that needs to be taken as seriously as payroll and pensions. And it definitely kind of resides in a higher place, or it should, in the organization, in terms of just things that we absolutely need to do versus things that we may have a little bit of wiggle room on. Any other comments on actual formulas? How to do it?
No, it's just that we can't set the percentage until we know this other stuff. We can maybe come up with a guess, but it may be too low.
Lyndon for the stack.
Go ahead, Lyndon.
I disagree that we can't set the formulas. The formula has nothing to do with how, well, it basically has nothing to do with how much we need to raise. We can set it at 1.6 or 1.8, which would include the payables. But first we have to have a formula. And then when we look at the formula and we multiply the percent times 1.6 or 1.8, and then we see, well, we don't think so-and-so can pay, is going to pay this. That's where our problem is. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. And if we want to dig down to that, you know, operationally, in the last 12 months, ending September 30th, even including all the bequest money that came in, I believe, without looking, I think 4 out of the 5 stations lost money, and so asking them to pay, but that of course included accrual central services, right? So. But it indicates that an inability to pay is what that indicates, because you know, stations don't have any independent borrowing capability. So when they run out of money, they either come running to the national office or they go into fund drive. Those are the only two options for stations that are not having gainful returns on, on the, over the fiscal year. So, the only way to get at these expense items, the central services, the interest payments, and eventually the principal payments is to figure out a way to operate the network profitably. I know that sounds like really, dismissive and simple-minded, but it's just the facts. It's we have to figure out a way to do that. And we can go through station by station and figure out what each individual station needs to do, but ultimately the entire network needs to function as a gainful activity in order to get that loan paid off. There's just no other way of doing it. So I understand that BAI has more burdens than some stations, but it also every station has an obligation to not be a burden on the others. So we have to figure out a way to make it work together, develop some sort of camaraderie and teamwork to get over this hump, particularly now, given the looming principal payment in 2021. It's barely 12 months away at this juncture, and so it's definitely worrisome. This gets back to only the central services stuff, but just the margins and the operating conditions at each individual stations and how to make those work in the current circumstances. If other stations can carry the burden and are willing to subsidize stations while they're losing money, that's one thing. But right now, I don't think any station is in a position of being able to do that. I don't think any station can carry the water for another station at this juncture. It's something's gotta give. Something's gotta move. Either revenue has to go up, costs have to decline in order to bring the stations into balance. Each individual station will have to figure out what to do in that regard, but it just has to be done. We not only won't be able to perform on the interest of the loan, we won't ultimately perform on the loan at all. And
James for the stack.
Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I realize that what I'm about to say doesn't have anything to do with creating a formula and it can't be budgeted, but I think this conversation lends toward a discussion, perhaps in another forum, of a plan to better use our windfall revenue, specifically and especially our bequests. I think we could have a discussion again in another forum or at another time about having a better policy of utilizing bequests, even when they're designated for individual stations, to put the large portion of it towards the loan. And so anyway, I realize it can't be part of the formula, so it's just a food for thought. And I wanted to add one other point, and I apologize for belaboring it, but among Bill's talking points that he continues to repeat is the mention that he always makes about the payroll, and we can't be using central services for payroll. And I say what I said the last time this came up. Yes, WBI has had to rely on the other stations for their payroll, but we have caught up on that. It's always only been for a short period of time, and I realize it's a problem, but I don't think it's not creating any permanent hole or any accruing amount. We're basically current on that, with the possible exception — I haven't spoken to Bertolt about this specifically recently — the month of October, when we were off the air and didn't have any way to raise the money. And in fact, we're interrupted from raising money. And I think we might make an adjustment for that somewhere. Thanks.
Lyndon for the stack.
Hey, Lyndon, go ahead.
And Sharon for the stack too, please.
Yes, we did send out some...
Glad you.
We had some discussion on accounts payable lately, and we're $211,000 behind. I think that's as of 12/31/2019. So a couple days, we'll have another month under us. So, James, what is your deficiency in central services payment?
Oh, I don't deny we're deficient in central services payments. In fact, I think we made 5 payments last year rather than 12. And I realized that some of those were accounted, you know, were credited to prior years. So it only ended up being 1 credited to last year. So I'm not talking
right.
about central services.
So
I do understand that.
Excuse me.
I was specifically talking about Bill's point about payroll. That's all.
Well, you
and you're right. I understand.
You can't have. You can't just, you know, harp on one and ignore the other, because
I'm not the one. I'm not the one harping on payroll. It's Bill. I'm just trying to correct that there is a deficit
okay.
in payroll.
Okay.
I understand there's a
okay.
deficit in central services.
Thank you.
Okay, Sharon.
I do take it seriously. Believe me.
yes, I appreciated the comment about adding the $200,000 in, I guess I agree with Linda tonight, so about adding the $200,000 in payables to the national office. So if it was 1.5, which is what Anita said, it should be 1.7. I mean, I think we should just use that as the number that we're trying to get for the next year. I just think that's a better way to analyze the numbers. I also wanted to say that, you know, we had a comment earlier about attributing expenses back to, you know, legal fees and such back to stations maybe where they could allegedly be attributed to. And so when there's a situation when, for example, payroll is not made in a timely manner, I do believe there's a lot of expenses that are associated with that in terms of time at NEDA to deal with that situation, and maybe that is the kind of expense that should also be attributed back to the station that caused that expense. That is why that comment, Nancy, was unproductive. And as Lyndon said, it's much better to just focus on the numbers, focus on what the money is that can be raised, and see if there's actually a way to pay off the huge, massive amounts of money that are owed. And the last thing I want to say is, I just want to repeat again, it's interesting that, you know, there's a sort of focus on bequests as like that's what's going to save things instead of having sound financial policy. I would like to see Pacifica operate on a sound financial policy and not expect a windfall of a bequest to be what's going to save things. And the comment that we could disregard what an individual donor had designated, if a donor had designated an individual station, that's
hello?
I think we lost her.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought I might have cut out. Incidentally, just to let you folks know that aren't on the PMB, this bequest issue actually was already litigated at the PMB level, just to use a term that's probably inappropriate for in this context. But we did discuss it, and it came up, and Bill and I were advocating pretty much for James's position there, but unfortunately from my point of view, although in retrospect I've kind of had a change of heart about this, which I can explain if anybody wants to hear why, the PMB voted against that they basically said that individual stations should be able to do whatever the hell they want with their own bequest money, which is Sharon's position, and so that's how it was voted at the PMB level. Only the bequests that are attributable directly to the national office will be used for purposes of repayment on interest or principal of the loan, is how that measure panned out at the PMB level. And this was towards the middle of last year that this was presented and voted in that particular way. I have no reason to assume that it would go down any differently if it were voted on now. So that's kind of what
James for the stack.
So
okay, go ahead, James. We're almost out of time for this item, by the way, just to let you know. Go ahead,
James. I'm sorry, what's that?
Sorry, we're almost out of time for this item, but go ahead, James, and then Nancy, and then we'll close down.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that as I recall that item, and if we're thinking about the same thing, I think there was a motion to have the executive director work with the ICFO to come up with a formula or a way of dispersing the bequests, but I don't know that they ever did that. So I'm not clear that it was decided on and dealt with.
It ended up being a rather large motion, John. There was nothing specific. There was no specific language in there about formulas. It said, in large part, I believe, that the loan should be used primarily for purposes. Well, I think it might have even, it said primarily for purposes of repayment of the loan, and then the balance of the payments would be used for any exigent or